Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all of these things they will do on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in the law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. May God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would etch these words deeply into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian Missionary Alliance pastor A.W. Tozer once wrote, "Much that passes for Christianity today is the brief, bright effort of the severed branch to bring forth its fruit in its season. But the deep laws of life are against it. Preoccupation with appearances and a corresponding neglect of the out-of-sight root of the true spiritual life are prophetic signs which go unheeded. immediate results are all that matter. Quick proofs of present success without a thought of next week or next year. Religious pragmatism is running wild among the Orthodox. Truth is whatever works. If it gets results, it is good. But there is but one test for the religious leader: success. Everything else is forgiven him except failure. A tree can weather almost any storm if its root is sound. But when the fig tree, which our Lord cursed, dried up from the roots, it immediately withered away. A church that is soundly rooted cannot be destroyed. But nothing can save a church whose root is dried up. No stimulation, no advertising campaigns, no gifts of money, no beautiful edifice can bring back life to the rootless tree. John, we see the last of the I Ams. We said that John has selected seven I Ams. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. I am the bread that comes down from heaven, and all of that. The one we looked at previously, I am the resurrection and the life, we would have thought that would have been the last one, the most important one. But this is the last one. This is the one John is pointing to. I am the true vine. Now we see as a backdrop, the context of this was a story of Israel, who God often called his vineyard. And he tended his vineyard. And he was looking, he shed his grace upon his vineyard. And he gifted them. And he did, he looked out for them. And in the end, all they were producing were wild grapes. They went after other gods. They went after other things. They were chasing anything but him. And in the end, he now brings the Son of God through the bloodline of Israel. But he alone is the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. This also is the first time that he adds something to the I am. Every other case, it was, I am the bread, I am the resurrection. Here it's, I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. The vine dresser is the one, when he takes branches away, it's painful. When he takes away people in this life that we know and love and that have developed a relationship, it's a painful experience, and it doesn't always, it doesn't mean that they have done anything wrong in our life. But there are branches that don't bear fruit and branches that do bear fruit. The branches that don't bear fruit, he takes away, and the branches that do, he prunes. Pruning. The word is catharsis. We get cathartic. We get where it's also he cleanses. He prunes and he cleanses us. He works in our life. He cleans away the rubble. He takes away stuff that we're longing and clinging on to for our own good. He takes away things that are not helpful for our spiritual condition. He says, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. He gives us cleansing because of his word. But there is a dimension that we are to abide in him. He says, if you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do very little. No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What is the greatest need of a church? What is the greatest? Who is the one person that has to show up every Sunday? He is. We can fill this place, but if he is missing, it's for nothing. He is the vine. He is the true vine. He is the one that we all have to connect to. And he is the one that we focus on maintaining that relationship. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown in the fire and burned. In this verse, the English translation is probably not one of the best ones for that word. The Greek word iro means lift up. Its first, second, and third definitions mean some form of that. The first means to lift up or pick up. The second is to lift up figuratively, as in lifting up one's eyes. The third one is to lift up with the added thought of lifting up in order to carry away. And the last definition is to remove. And that is what the translators have gone with here, probably looking ahead to the next few verses. But I think if you use the first primary definition of that, and so this sentence would read, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. That is, he would keep it from tailing on the ground. And it's consistent with the idea of the husbandman, the vine keeper, the one who nurtures and cares for the vine. If there's a branch that's not producing a lot of fruit, and this is what they do in vineyards, they lift them up on the trellis where they can get some sunlight. They take care of them. They nurture them. And so in this context, if anybody does not abide in me, he is taken every branch that does not bear fruit, he lifts up so he keeps it from trailing on the ground. And the branches, every branch that withers, they're gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. In the ceremonial worship of Israel, where they had the altar and had animal sacrifices, a few times a year, one of the sacrifices that they were commanded to bring was firewood, so you could keep the wood going. But there was one type of wood that was excluded specifically, grapevines. Not because there was anything ceremonially bad about them, they just didn't work. They burned so fast, it was a lot of flash and ash, and it didn't do the job they were intended. And also, grapevines, if you didn't burn them, they had no other use. They were gnarly. They weren't anything you could use. You couldn't make tools with them. You couldn't make furniture with them. You couldn't make anything with them. They served no useful purpose. And so the only thing you could do with grapevines is wad them up in a ball and set them on fire and get rid of them. That's what he's saying here. If we don't abide in the vine, then as branches, we have no other useful purpose. We don't have a ton of skills that God can use. We have no other useful purpose if we are not abiding in the vine. He says, if you abide in me, and my words and abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Now, this is not, this is giving us the picture that if we are abiding in the vine, it stands to reason naturally the things that we want are the things he wants. And the things that we will ask are the things that he wants to do. It's the relationship that he's focusing on. We are not at cross purposes with God if we are abiding in him. That same relationship he has with the Father, we have with him. He says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now let's look at the idea of fruit. Often people commingle the idea of fruit and the harvest. And the harvest is souls. And we often look at this in an evangelistic context. If we're out soul winning and producing a great harvest, that is producing fruit. Well, you can teach that from Scripture, but probably not here, because in the word fruit is used, but it's used in a different context. The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control, and so on. The harvest, we are to go out and share the gospel. We are to keep our eyes on the harvest, but that's not something everybody can be equally effective with. Some people have greater opportunity. Some people have greater gifting in that area. Some people God uses them greatly. But the fruit is something we can all participate in. Every single one of us will bear much fruit if we are abiding in him. So he is the vine, and it speaks of two other things. There is the vine, there is the love, and there's the hate. Now on to the love. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. We see we know that the Father loves the Son. Three times God spoke from heaven. When the heavens opened up at Jesus' baptism, at his transfiguration, and he opened up heaven and gave his blessing, and his first words were, this is my beloved Son. So we know the Father loves the Son, but here we learn something new. We learn that the Son loves us in that same way. It is extending. It is rolling downhill. God the Father loves the Son. The Son loves us. We're at a point in this where all of the unbelievers have left the room. Judas is gone. And this is directed to believers in Christ. If you are a believer in Christ, if you are trusting in him, then the Son loves you with an everlasting love. He says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, when we understand this, we don't keep his commandments so that he will love us. It's the other way around. He loves us, and then we desire to keep his commandments. It's We can't put the cart before the horse. He loves us. If somebody loves me, and I know that they love me, the last thing in the world I want to do is go immediately run out and do something that displeases them. I want to please them as well when I sense the love, and that it is, that's the relationship of Christ. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So now we're taking it a step further. God the Father loves the Son. The Son loves us. And when we are experiencing and we are abiding in that love, we need to love one another. There is the bond, they call it the communion of the saints. It is that bond that believers have that nobody else has. When I was a brand new believer in college, that is the first thing I noticed in my own life, is that I was able to genuinely love other people. Prior to that, I genuinely loved Bob. That was it. But it got extended. And there are believers in this life that I have a greater relationship and a greater love for than often some people in my own biological family. There is it's a connection that's a spiritual connection. This past week I was down in Arkansas and I had dinner with somebody that I had seen on both sides of the cross. I knew his before and I knew his after. Now before, he was a nice guy. I was attracted to him. He had a winsome personality. He was funny. He was somebody that had a very appealing personality. But once I saw what God had done in his life and the after, it was a whole new person. It was, wow, God is at work in this guy's life. And he was talking about how God had blessed him. And things were happening in his life that never happened before. And that is the difference that Christ does. When he comes in, when he takes up residence, he does things that are not possible any other way. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So we have the vine, we have the love, but there's also the hate. He says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Sometimes we think we can please everybody. We can be everybody's friend. But Jesus is saying, no, you can't. You got to pick a side. It's one or the other. You got to pick him or pick the world. There are people that think you can go through life with one foot in heaven and one foot in the world, and you got the best of both worlds. But you don't. You have the best of neither. You're conflicted. You don't. Nothing works right. You got to pick a side. He says, if they hate you because you are connected to me, it's not really you they hate. It's him they hate. They desperately hate him. And the reason they hate you is because you remind them of him. Some of his life pops through in your life, and it's a smell they can't stand. It's a fragrance to others, but it's something they can't tolerate. And so they hate anybody that's connected to Christ. They hate him with a hatred that is indescribable. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. Jesus says, if I had not done among them the works that nobody else did, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have seen and hated both me and the Father. They hated him without a cause. When we look at what he has done, he says he helps us out. He says, but when the Helper comes, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Part of the overflowing life in us is that we want to share it with others. Anybody that's content to go to heaven all by themselves probably isn't headed that way. When we finally have an abiding relationship with Christ, it's something we want to share with our friends. So he is the true vine. There may be many in many churches that appear as branches in the Lord's garden, but have no true union with him. May that not be true of anyone here. May we pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your connection. We thank you that you love us and you enable us to love others. People that we couldn't stand. People that we would never have even picked as friends. But you allow us to love others with your supernatural love. And pray you would use us. In Jesus' name, amen.